Welcome to the Man in the Mirror podcast. Today, we are joined by a special guest, Phil Downer, and we turn it over to Pat Morley, author and founder of Man in the Mirror, who will introduce him.
Phil is a famous war veteran and hero from Vietnam. His company, hotel company, 2nd Battalion, 5th Division of Marines, was featured in the movie Full Metal Jacket. Some of you watched that movie this week. I watched it. Phil was the machine gunner in Hotel Company, and in the movie, that was the character Animal Mother, and so you're going to see a little bit of video here of that in a moment. Phil is a father. He is married to Susie. They have a beautiful family. He has spoken to over 500,000 members of our armed forces in all branches. He regularly speaks to Marine recruits, regularly speaks at Quantico, regularly speaks at Paris Island every year. Most of the recruits since 2003. And he speaks to them on leadership and family issues, but he always has an option for a faith talk, and has led tens of thousands of soldiers to faith in Jesus Christ.
I know that there are men in your life who are not alive today because they fought for this country. And I know when I talk about the guys I lost, I conjure up in your thinking, in your heart, those people who are no longer with us. And so I want to tell you, I'm sorry I've done that, but I've done that for a very specific reason, because we're not going to talk about crocheting this morning. We're going to talk about the real things that go on inside a man's life, including the men sitting right now around the table, because we all are in a battle. You've got a different kind of a battle now, perhaps. Perhaps it's not bullets, but it's financial, health. It's getting along with people who you've raised who are going a different direction than you wanted them to. It's living with a woman who's very different. You've been married for decades, and she's still different. She still doesn't understand you. She still doesn't understand what makes you tick. Well, I was a lousy student in school. I wasn't just a lousy student. I made lousy grades. I flunked college algebra twice back to back, and I went to a school where 17 of my relatives had graduated. My father had been student body president. My grandfather had been a great leader there and a professor there, and a great uncle of mine gave money, and they built a building with his name on it. And I flunked out. And they asked me never to come back. And I didn't. I didn't come back. Well, what are you going to do when you're 19 years old? I hated to be told what to do. I hated to get up early in the morning, and I wanted to get away from my father's rules. So what do you think I did? I joined the Marine Corps. Perfect. No rules there. And I'm standing on those yellow footprints with this maniac screaming at me, thinking to myself, I have made a mistake. Well, my dad was furious. He said, join the Navy, the Air Force, join something, but don't join the Marines. In World War II, we took them out alive and we brought them back dead, or we just buried them there. And so I joined the Marine Corps. He said, well, at least let me call my roommate. He can get you embassy duty. And I said, no, don't you touch this. See, like many, many, many young men and women joining the military today, this was the very first thing I ever did myself. And I needed to do it right myself. And so as I went, my dad said, well, you're a smart kid. You know, they'll send you to school. Well, they did. I called my dad. Hello, Dad. They're going to send me to school. That's great. What kind of school? Machine gunner school. He goes, ooh, that's not good. And you know what? Ooh, it wasn't good. Well, I joined the famed hotel company, 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines, fighting in the northern part of South Vietnam. And it was hell. We were at the point of the spear. World War II guys, they had a horrible mission. They fought about 40 days a year in combat. An average guy doing what I did spent 200 days in combat, but they flew us around as the point of the spear in those helicopters. It was face-to-face. It was face-to-face. One time going out in Operation Essex, we're 120 strong, hotel company. We're going out in Operation Essex into what was called Antenna Valley. We hit the deck, we mustered up, we charged across an open area. It would be kind of like here. If that tree line over there, it was kind of thick like that over there, but we were about twice that way away, and we had rice paddies in between us, you know, 14 inches of muck, and we're online hitting the enemy, and they opened up. They're waiting for us. It was a total ambush, and they're waiting for us, 120 Marines. They killed 16 and wounded 21, that's 30% of 120, in 90 seconds. Now, I'm talking to men who have had things happen very quickly. It only took a moment for that doctor to say, you've got a heart problem. You've got leukemia. It only took a second or two for your daughter-in-law to say, I'm done with your son. It only took a second or two to have your wife come in and say, I don't know you. Who are you? So we're going to talk honestly about something that I developed in early childhood. Fear, anger, guilt, and pain. Say it with me. Fear, anger, guilt, and pain. I found my mother. I was 10 years old. I came home from school. My mom and dad were in heavy combat, marital combat. I found in a pool of blood when I was 10 years old. It just struck my heart. I didn't know what to do. I had blood on her. I had blood on me. And I didn't know. I called Dad. He came. They took her off to an institution. My friend stood on the curb across the street and laughed when my mother came off the porch on a gurney into the ambulance. I was alone. Dad worked. My sister, 5, 6 years older, depending on the time of year, 5.5 years older than me. She was off with her friends. I was alone. For a year, my mom finally came back, and things were good for a while. And then I couldn't wake her up after school, 11 years old. Dad, I can't wake her up. Her head just did the shoulder roll. When I joined the Marines, I sat in the top bunk at Camp Pendleton in training with flashbacks and nightmares of the blood on my hands and the shoulder roll of her head. And that would be repeated many times in Vietnam. Men, the pool of blood, doing the shoulder roll, not awaking. And so I joined the Marines with PTSD. See, you wonder, why is it that we have so many suicides? Since the 9/11, we've had 7,000 men and women, courageous warriors, killed in combat. And since 9/11, we've had 30,000 suicides. And most of those suicides involve people who've never been to war. They never pulled a trigger. Why is that? That's because young men and women are joining the Marine Corps and the Navy, the Air Force, mostly the Army and the Marine Corps, with PTSD already. They thought they could trust their uncle. Dad wasn't there. Mom was with other people. Concussion, pain. See, if you go through trauma and you don't have stress, you're not normal. Post-traumatic stress. If you don't have stress from trauma, you remember the guy that landed the airplane in the Hudson River and with both engines out ingesting birds taking off in a New York airport? He landed that thing. They're all standing on the wing. Everybody came out alive. He was a hero. They wrote a book about it. They had a movie about it. You know what they did with him right after that? They gave him counseling and help on what? Post-traumatic stress. So there are people in here that have never pulled a trigger, but you have it, and there's some people here, a whole bunch of you, that have. You've been there, or your buddies have been there, and you have it. So what do we do with it? Fear, anger, guilt, and pain. Well, so in Vietnam, that was multiplied. So we're going around the left flank. Now, I got promoted. I'd been the machine gunner, and I got promoted. So John Atkinson now is on the machine gun, and I got promoted. We're going around the left flank. Pop, pop, pop. The enemy opened up. I went to hit the deck, and a bullet went through my pack and out the top. Missed me. As I hit the deck, my machine gun and the guy that was carrying it, John Atkinson from New York, Syracuse, he had a baby on the way. He was a good man. You know any good men? You probably know a lot of men, but you know any good people? He was good people. He fell on top of me with a machine gun. I remember like it was yesterday. I'm positioned like this, his head's this way on my chest. I pulled him up. I reached for a pulse, both sides of the neck. He bled out in my arms, pool of blood. He was a good man. He was in my spot, my machine gun. That was my position. I had manned that. I trained him. He's carrying my weapon. He's got my pistol strapped to his butt. It should have been me. And 3 days before that, it would have been me. But I got promoted. And he became the man with the shortest life expectancy in combat. They let me go by. And they got John. Well, I came home from Vietnam with fear, anger, guilt, and pain. I joined a group of guys going to college. I grew out my hair, and I went to school, and it wasn't even fair. Those civilians trying to keep up with me, I was now serious. I put my butt in a chair, and I worked until I got it right. I got it right. People would say, "You got the highest grade in that course. We only got the assignment on Thursday. How'd you do that?" I put myself in chair, and I didn't move until I got it. Well, we heard you didn't sleep much, didn't eat much, you know, you skipped meals. Yeah, well, I put myself in chair, and I made straight A's in that junior college. I went to SMU. The guy that let me in said, "I don't think we can let you in here. You don't have the grades for it, but we're going to let you in here on my recommendation. I'm going to take a chance on you." See, there's some people have taken a chance on you. What are you doing with that chance right now? Are you just sitting on your fanny feeling sorry for yourself? Or are you engaged in what God wants you to be doing? Because we got a battle going on. Well, I went to law school. I went to economics class. I was headed to law school. I was in my economics class, a group of people about this size. I'm in the back of the room. I was there first, kind of like this morning. I was the third or fourth guy here. Sitting in the corner so I could cover all the hatches with my machine gun, you know, hypervigilance. And I got a good seat. And this girl walked in, and I just was struck by this young blonde woman. She was beautiful, smart, confident. So confident, she came late, and she walked down the aisle between the chairs and banged everybody with her purse, finding her seat because she was late. I was early, she was late, and that is conduct we have continued to this very day. I said, "What kind of man would take to marry that girl?" I took her out, we fell in love. She kissed me till my lips fell off. I heard you gentlemen utter something earlier. The Army says "hua," and the Marines say "oorah." Say "oorah" for me.
Oorah.
All right, that woman kissed me till my lips fell off. Can I have an oorah on that? Oorah, that's what she did, and we got married. I was a perfect gentleman. I was kind and sweet and gentle, always concerned about her needs. Steady. That was me until the second night of our honeymoon. And something went wrong, and I blew my stack. I blew the makeup right off her face with some of those words you heard in Full Metal Jacket. She'd never been yelled at before. Did you notice you married somebody different from you? She was different. She was raised by an engineer. One degree up, one degree down. That was it. He never yelled. And he gave his daughter to me. It'd be like handing a Waterford Crystal goblet to a gorilla. My wife started thinking about divorcing me the second night of her honeymoon. I loved her. I loved her when I was screaming at her. I loved her when I was in bed with other women. She had a hard time with that one. I joined a church. I became an elder of that church because I promised God I would do that if He got me out of Vietnam. I became the elder in charge of evangelism of that church. I wasn't sure what that was. I asked the pastor. He said, "What kind of outreach?" I said, "Great." So outreach, I kind of wanted to get things done once and get it over with. So we had a blood drive. I didn't have a clue what to do with fear, anger, guilt, and pain. I tried alcohol, I tried women, I tried chanting the name of a foreign god for a year, 20 minutes twice a day, meditation. I tried everything I knew to try that the movie said would bring you fun and peace, and I had fear, anger, guilt, and pain, and I crushed the very relationship I cherished the most, my wife, and she was going to divorce me. The adultery was bad, the yelling was bad, but then I started breaking her furniture. I'm out of here. She's going to sue me for divorce. We got through law school together, sat side by side all the way through law school, and she was going to sue me for divorce. That was going to be her first lawsuit to sue me for divorce. And I would have been one of the 22, I don't know what it was then, but now 22 active or veterans kill themselves every day. My father blew his brains out on my birthday. My mother tried it twice. I thought about it 1,000 times. If that woman had left me, I would have done it. Well, we were headed for a brick wall. And a man came along and sat down with me at a place kind of like this. We had breakfast and we went to a place like this. He sat down with me and he said, "You know, you brought the war home with you. You thought you left your first marriage at the courthouse, sir, when you got divorced. You thought you left your son you buried 5-10 years ago, but you brought all that pain with you. That's what you're doing right now. You've got pain right now. I don't know y'all, but you've got some pain and some fear and some anger, some grief, some regrets. Most of us, well, I had all that." He said, "You brought the war home. You need to find peace." "Well, I'd love to find peace." He said, "You need a relationship with God through Jesus Christ." "A what? With who?" I said, "Look, I go to church. I'm a Christian." He said, "Well, wait a minute. If you're a Christian and Jesus came and brought faith, hope, love, forgiveness, joy, peace, why don't you have it? You got fear, anger, guilt, and pain. You might not have Jesus." "Well, how do you get Jesus?" "Well, you understand that He came to earth as all man, yet all God." "Okay, I get that. I believe that." "And then He walked this earth, and then at the appointed hour, He gave up His life as a sacrifice and died on the cross voluntarily. He could have wiped out the Romans, but He didn't. He submitted to death for you and me and died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. Because if we're not going to pay for it, who is? We're going to suffer for what we've done, this broken God's law. But He took it for us. He died for us and was buried and rose again and lives today and has an invitation, has an opportunity, an offer, that we can receive Him as Lord and Savior and find forgiveness and eternal life if we will bring Him into our life and receive Him as Lord and Savior as a gift." He read a verse to me. We read it together, Ephesians 2:8-9. Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace have you been saved by faith, this not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast." It's a gift. You can receive Him. He said, you need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Another verse, 1 John 5:11-13 says this. Says, "And this is a record," or this is a testimony, "that God has given us." There it is again. "He has given us life, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, but he who is not the Son of God has not life, that you might know you have eternal life." I've written these things to you that you might know you have eternal life. That you know. Do you know you have eternal life? Well, I didn't know I had eternal life because I didn't. I didn't have Jesus Christ. He said, "Do you remember that moment that you accepted John's gift to you?" I said, "What are you talking about?" "Do you remember that moment you realized that he was dead And you put him down and went on and fought the battle. And I said, yeah, he'd heard the story several times from me. And I said, yeah, I remember like it was yesterday. John's in my arms, and the lieutenant screamed out, "Downer!" And he used a few of those Marine words. "Get on the machine gun." And I remember like it was yesterday, the day I was screaming, "Atkinson, Atkinson," he was gone. And I put him down. And I picked up the life he had given me because he took my place. Changed my life. I've lived 55 years since that day in Vietnam. Not a bad run. But he said, this fella said at breakfast, "I need to receive Jesus Christ. Put down my old life and pick up Jesus. And live a life of Jesus Christ." And so I asked God to come into my life and... Ha ha! What a deal! Can you imagine me? I'm walking around with all this guilt and pain. All those guys had died. I mean, I got rocks in my pack so heavy I could hardly carry it. I felt responsible for my mom and dad's marriage problems, my mom's attempted suicide, my father's suicide. He tried to call me, and I wasn't there. And he blew his brains out on my birthday. I had guilt, fear. And I traded guilt for forgiveness. Ha! You've never seen a happier guy in your whole life. I knew I was forgiven, not because I'm good, but because I received a gift of forgiveness. Oh, I'm walking 50 feet off the ground. I traded fear for fellowship with the God who would never leave me. Oh, my best friend. I traded anger for gentle peace. I traded pain for healing. The VA said I had the worst symptoms over adolescence, teen, and adulthood in the military of anybody my psychologist had worked with for her 10-year tenure at the VA. And God started to heal that. My wife said, "What happened to you?" I said, "I became a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ." She said, "Well, I'm a Christian." I said, "I'm not so sure." I said, "You're a good girl. You do good things. You make good decisions, but they're all about Susie. You ask Susie what to do, and you do what Susie wants to do because Susie's at the heart of your life. Maybe you know somebody like that. Maybe you're like that. You're a good person, but it's your person." Susie was a follower of Susie. And so she realized that and she became a Christian, but didn't love me anymore. And we would have been divorced. Except she had a woman like I had, a man. She had a woman discipling her that goes on right in this room. That woman was walking with Susie. Every week I had a doctor who was discipling me every week, and they're pointing us toward Jesus. And that woman said, "Do you think God can do anything? Raise your hand if you think God can do anything." Well, He can solve what's on your heart right now. He can bring you forgiveness. He can bring you peace with all the trauma you're dealing with. I don't know what it is. And so she began to pray for new love for me. Didn't love me at all. I was gone. I wasn't hated or disregard, I was irrelevant to that woman. I was gone. I was history. And she prayed for 3 years for a new love for me and fell back in love with me. And we've now been married this August, 51 years. How about a new raw on that? Now that is because of God Almighty and Jesus Christ. No other. And you know what? We still disagree on what restaurant to go to. We still disagree on where to sit. We still disagree on what time is 7 o'clock? We still disagree on the waiter. I'm sitting here wanting to talk to my wife, and the waiter comes up, and he says, "Do you want to hear about the specials?" Simultaneously, I say, "No," and she says, "Yes." And we spend 7 minutes out of the hour I get with her, 7 minutes while he tells her about the fish and the lobster and all this stuff that she's not going to order anyway, but she likes to hear about it. Finally, I said, look, I want to take you on a date. We do it once a week. We got a date once a week. I come home from one of these, we got a date. I said, listen, you will get on the internet. I can't say it that way. I say, sweetheart, I want you to get on the internet, find the restaurant you want to go to. I don't want to spend time debating that. You look at the menu, you pick out what you want. I don't want to talk to the waiter for 7 minutes about the specials, because I want to talk about you. And after talking about you and getting time together, we're going to go home and you're going to jump my bones. That. Can I get an oorah on that? That is a vibrant marriage in Jesus Christ. She is so still different from me, but we're one in Jesus. And when we walk with Jesus, we have the most precious intimacy, love, devotion, friendship, care. But I've got to walk with Jesus. Now, how do I do that? I get up every morning like this morning. I got up. What'd you do this morning? You got up. You took a shower. You got in a car. And you came here. And yet you're all ready to go. Wrong. Wrong. But I listened to the Christian radio station on the radio. Wrong. I had my iPods with worship music. Wrong. You weren't ready for today. You weren't ready for what's going to happen to you today. That's my premise. Because I'm concerned about you, because you're struggling perhaps with fear, anger, guilt, and pain. And the only way to deal with that is with Jesus. So what did I do in between all of that? I sat at the foot of the cross in my hotel room 7 minutes from here and spent time with Jesus dealing with my issues of fear, anger, guilt, and pain. But I've got some issues with my family. I've got 6 kids, 15 grandchildren, people I love all over the country. I got some really people in trouble, and I've got my own struggles, and I had to take that and give that back to Jesus to be ready to be with you this morning, because that's what I've got to do every day. The other day I came out, we have this wonderful new assistant, Susie, and I came out a little bit early, and in about 10 minutes, Susie gave me all these ideas, all these things to do. We worked together in ministry, and I married someone like you. She's smart as a whip. And she's vice president, I'm president of this outfit, you know? And I got there, and she was sitting there with this assistant, and I said, you know, in the last 10 minutes, you've given me 5 things to do, 2 things personally, and a couple of trips. I said, would you like me to begin doing all those things, or would you like me to go and get my quiet time that I was right in the middle of when I came out here? Would you like me to go have my quiet time with Jesus? Their eyes got really big. Oh, we want you to go have your quiet time. Because you see, with that time with Jesus, what you get is you get Phil. After my quiet time, what you get when you scratch me is Jesus. See, the combat today needs our involvement, our peace and joy. But I can't be involved if I'm walked with fear, anger, guilt, and pain. So I spend time with Jesus every morning until I'm walking in what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithful, self-control. And then I'm ready to go. I'm a delight to be with, most people would say. I'm going to go home and have time with my wife. And I'm going to have some time. You know why you go home late in the afternoon and evening and you have a fight with your wife? Because you ran out of ammo. You know, in Vietnam, if we had a lieutenant that said, well, we lost 3 Marines today. You did. Why? Well, we ran out of ammo. Well, that's what you said last week. Take some more ammo. What would we do with that second lieutenant? Huh? We'd fire him. Or fire at him. We'd get rid of him. He's running out of ammo. You got to have enough ammo. If you didn't get up this morning and walk with Jesus and take your toil and your problems and your issues to the Lord and dump them with Him, you're going to run out of ammo. You're going to go home and have a wonderful day and go home and yell at your grandson who just spilled something on your Bible or something. I don't know. So I've got to have enough ammo to get through my day. And I disciple guys one-on-one. It's a life-on-life experience, discipleship. It's life-on-life. It is sitting with a man and looking him in the eyeballs and asking him, how you doing? Jim Lyon would sit there and he'd look at me, that big dumb look, and go, how you doing? And he'd go, this big stupid look on his face. And he would wait for an answer. And I'd lie and say, fine. And then he'd say, great. Well, how you really doing? And look at me with that big stupid look, and it all started coming out. And then we'd go to work on the issues. Law practice, money, finance, marriage, kids, pain, anger, flashback, hating the government, hating the North Vietnamese, hating my father. And we'd go to work with the Lord. So now I sit down with guys and my kids, other people, have for years and years. I'm always discipling somebody. I do this, but I'm discipling somebody every time I'm doing this, or many scores of people sometimes. Sitting down, talking, having breakfast, and I say, how you doing? And I look at them with a big dumb look, and they say, I'm doing fine. Great, great. How you really doing? I understand you buried your business last week, bankruptcy. You buried your grandson last week. You buried your wife last week. You buried your finances last week. And that's discipleship. Well, now we've got about 20 minutes for questions. And I've raised some issues. There's a lot more to be said on all the things I talked about. But we're going to have some time of questions and answers. But let me leave you with this. If you're dealing with fear, anger, guilt, and pain, there are two reasons. One is, you've never accepted the Savior. Ha! You've never accepted the gift of salvation, and now's the time to do it. Or, you have the Savior, you have the Lord, and you're walking in the flesh. I always look about the same with those two things. It's kind of hard to tell the difference in me. What I'm doing, if I'm doing one of those. So everybody bow your heads right now. Lord, thank you for these men. Now, there are men in this room, Lord. I'm going to speak to them. You guys here who do not walk with Jesus, I'd invite you to follow Him, be a follower of Jesus, and pray this prayer. Silently, at least I prayed out loud, to accept Jesus. Lord, thank you for not giving up on me. Lord, I confess to you, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, I need you. I confess to you my sin, and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for loving me. And now with heads down and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer with me, look up at me, engage my eyeballs if you prayed that prayer with me. All right, lower your heads. Now, the men in this room who have accepted Jesus maybe yesterday, maybe 40 years ago, but you're struggling with walking with Him. So this prayer would be for those of us who are Christians who are in fear, anger, guilt, and pain. Lord, I'm scared. I'm lonely. I'm angry. I'm hurting. Lord, I want to give all that to You. And I want to accept Your healing and Your grace. I have You. I just want You to be in charge. I confess to You my independence, my pity parties, and my wallowing in things that don't go right for me. Lord, I thank You that You're in charge. I want You now to take control again of my life. And I confess to You that I've been running it myself. And I ask You, Lord, to You walk and I'll follow You. And You carry me sometimes, but I want to be with You. In Jesus' name. And now, if you prayed that prayer with me, just look up at me if you prayed that prayer with me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, Lord, I want to ask if these questions and answers that we could not talk about the crocheting, but we could talk about the real issues of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you got a question, stand up and holler out. My ears are not that good.
I'll bring the microphone.
Pat's got a microphone.
Yeah. Questions?
Pat Morley is the most organized human being I've ever known.
Yeah, thanks. That was a good talk. When you go and meet with the new recruits, what do you tell them? Because you've got to be careful about talking about God, can't you?
Yeah, what I do with the military is I talk about fear, anger, guilt, and pain. I talk about combat stress. I talk about resiliency. I talk about the core values of the branch I'm speaking to, the Army, leadership, the Marines, honor, courage, and commitment, the Navy, and so forth. I talk about marriage. I talk about family. And then I say this. I came home from Vietnam with fear, anger, guilt, and pain and destroyed my marriage. If you'd like to hear more about that, on how my faith made a difference, you can voluntarily stay. So I'd be in a room like this, and suddenly we go into what the military call a spiritual fitness message. I tell it's going to be a spiritual fitness message from a Christian point of view. It is voluntary. I always go like this, so please leave if you do not want to hear a spiritual fitness message from a Christian point of view. Now, so you don't feel conspicuous, we're going to stand up, and everybody stands up. And I said, if you'd like to leave, leave. If you want to come forward, come forward. We'll sit down. And sometimes 20% stay, sometimes 80% stay. And then I'm free to share what I just shared with you as a spiritual fitness message. But I never just kind of sneak Jesus in or something. I don't think that's effective. I don't think that's biblical. What I do is, it's an invitation. It's a free gift. And so, and people stay. And in other words, we have discipleship teams, 92, 97 discipleship teams, about 1,010 discipleship makers where I speak. And at one base theater, I had a whole battalion. And let's see the numbers. There were 750. We had 250 stay. And we had over 100 pray to receive Christ. And a bunch checked their card that they wanted to be discipled. So I take the card and I hand them to the guys in the back of the room. And those retired Marines and sailors and soldiers follow them up. So that's what we do. So thank you for your question.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.